Chapter 15. Then, finally, it was here. The night of the show-off. Pepper was so nervous she was afraid she might yak. Just breathe, Zinnia told her. They were alone in Ms. Starr's room. Pepper had to stay there until it was time for the UDM performance so that she wouldn't scare any fluxers or animals. Zinnia wasn't in the show-off, so she was keeping Pepper company. Okay. Pepper tried to take a deep, slow breath, but it didn't happen.
Maybe you should stop pacing, Zinnia said.
Zinnia would be leaving soon to go watch some of the performances. She didn't want to miss the whole thing. When UDM was up, they were last in the whole show, she'd run and fetch Pepper. It was a small job, but a crucial one. Pepper had argued hard to get Elliot to trust Zinnia with it, and he'd finally agreed. The rest of them would be too busy getting ready for their number. Pepper walked the length of Ms. Starr's room. She reached the wall with the windows, tagged the windowsill, and turned around to retrace her steps.
Think about something else, Zinnia said. How's your pest removal service going? Have you gotten any more jobs?
Pepper had, actually. She'd earned $35 by channeling a colony of ants out of Mr. Biddle's kitchen and into his garden. She'd earned $50 for ridding Maisie Brown's apple trees of worms.
I've earned 85 more dollars, she said, and I have 3 more jobs lined up.
Zinnia whistled.
Wow.
Pepper grinned.
I have a plan. I was going to make it a surprise, but I can't. It's too exciting.
What is it? Asked Zinnia.
I want to buy everyday cake tickets for you and me. We'll see Arabelle in person. I'll have enough for 3 tickets if I just do 1 more job. You, me, and a parent. Remember the sign? They're playing at Cider Cup next weekend.
Zinnia's face fell.
Oh, no, Pepper. That's not going to work.
Why not?
The everyday cake concert is sold out. It's been sold out for months. My mom tried to get me tickets for my birthday.
What? No.
Yeah, it's true. But they have posters up everywhere, said Pepper. So people will buy the new album, said Zinnia. That's what my mom said.
Swingo, Pepper sighed. What'll I do with all my money?
I don't know, said Zinnia. But on the plus side, you're rich.
She checked the clock in the classroom.
Listen, I'm going to go watch for a little bit, and then I'll come back and get you. Are you going to be okay? Can you really pause your fiercing? The song is 2 minutes and 11 seconds, said Pepper. Yesterday, I did it. I pinched it off for the whole time. But that was the first time ever that I made it that long. I think I should be okay, unless I'm nervous and mess it up.
Oh, Zinnia, I'm nervous. I'll be nervous.
You're going to be amazing, Zinnia said. I know it.
Nori's heart thumped as she peeked through the red velvet curtains. The auditorium was packed. Every seat was filled. The show was running. It was almost time for the 5th grade acts that ended the program. Father, Hawthorne, and Dahlia were late. They weren't in the audience. They probably weren't even coming. Dahlia had only said maybe. Nori hoped they were coming. No. She hoped they weren't coming. No, she hoped they were coming. Why were they late? The entire show-off was nearly over. They weren't coming.
Elliot touched her shoulder.
Hi.
Elliot,
Nori whispered.
Look how many people there are. I see your family in the front row.
His dad was pointing an enormous camera at the stage. His mom was holding a bouquet of flowers. His baby brother was asleep.
They are so embarrassing, Elliot complained. Is your family here?
No, she swallowed and briefly closed her eyes. Aunt Margot is here with Figs, but not the rest of them.
Forget your dad. Come watch with the rest of us, Elliot urged.
Nori hesitated, then followed her friend. The janitor had set up a cluster of fold-out chairs for the kids backstage. Right now, it was filled with 5th graders.
After each class finished its act, the students joined the general audience. Nori sat on a metal chair. She had a clear view of the well-lit stage where a spotlight illuminated the fifth-grade flyers. Each person was dressed all in white and held a flag. They were attempting to fly in a synchronized pattern while twisting the flags and waving them back and forth. Folk music blared from the sound system.
"What are they doing?"
Nori whispered to Elliot. Lacey Clench, wearing a very strange hat, whipped around from the row in front of them.
"Shh! It's a traditional flyer flag dance of the harvest season,"
Elliot whispered. He had a program in his hand. Nori squinted.
"Won't their flags get dirty, dragging on the ground like that?"
"I think they're supposed to be flying higher, and not so crooked."
Some of the flyers were nicely vertical, but others were on the diagonal, and a couple had their knees bent and their feet wide apart. There was a gasp from the audience as one of the flyers dropped to the floor and started crying.
"I'm guessing that wasn't on purpose,"
Elliot whispered. Lacey whipped around again.
"The flyer flag dance of the harvest season is an important legacy of the flyers around the world. My Nana is a flyer, so stop being disrespectful."
Nori gulped. Next up were the fifth grade fuzzies. Their act involved a camel. They took turns commanding it, only it wouldn't do much.
"Behold!"
a nervous-looking fuzzy cried, flinging one hand high in the air. The camel worked its lips. Then it yawned.
"Behold!"
the girl said again. Then she spoke in a low, angry voice to the camel.
"River dance! River dance! Come on!"
The camel stood there. The other kids tried to get the camel to listen, but it didn't river dance, or leap, or do anything else except yawn. Finally, the camel flattened its ears, pulled back its upper lip, and hawked a huge, globby loogie smack onto one boy's face. The audience broke into a smattering of confused applause. Next up were the fifth grade flickers. Their act was called Oranges Away. The flickers wore sailor outfits and held a dozen oranges, which they waved around in patterns.
"Oranges over the heads, oranges behind the backs, oranges under the knees,"
tossing oranges back and forth. Nori guessed the oranges were supposed to appear and reappear in sync with one another, but they didn't. Every now and then, one of them went invisible, but most of the flickers were too nervous to get their magic working well. Next were the fifth grade fluxers, and there was no denying it. They rocked kitty grooves. Kitten backspins, kitten whips, and kitten nay-nays. The butterscotch kittens leapt over the black kittens' backs. The black kittens pounced while the butterscotch kittens wiggled their backsides like they were getting ready to pounce. They popped and locked. They stomped their paws and shook their tails. They even shook their ears. Now Nori was nervous. The UDM kids could probably beat the flyers, the flickers, and the fuzzies. But these fluxers, they were tough competition. And now it was time for the fifth grade flares. The spotlight went dark. All music ceased until a low, throbbing drumbeat started up. On stage, what looked like a purple firefly flared a purple light. Nori leaned closer. It was Rune, one of the Sparkies. He wore a purple bodysuit with purple wings. Strapped around his waist was a small metal cage filled with cotton balls.
"He's lighting the cotton balls on fire one by one," Elliot said. "But he's controlling the heat of the fire. He's keeping just to the purple spectrum."
A flare dressed in green fluttered onto the stage, adorned with a similar metal cage full of cotton balls. She used her magic to set the cotton balls on fire, keeping to the green part of the heat spectrum. The effect was spectacular. Dark stage, low, steady drumming, and purple and green fireflies twinkling on and off. A pink firefly entered stage left. From stage right, a blue firefly twirled into sight. They danced and flared and swooped their arms and tiny flames flared from their fingertips, matching the colors of their costumes. Lacey twirled onto the stage. She wore a headpiece with 7 sparklers on top, and each sparkler burned a different color. Was she Queen of the Fireflies? She looked incredible. Nori snuck back over to the far side of the curtain to peek at the audience. She put her eye to a split in the fabric, and her blood seemed to reverse directions in her veins. He was here. Father was here. He was standing on the side, too late to get a seat, but he had a good view. Dahlia and Hawthorne stood on either side of him. Nori darted back to Elliot. "My father's here," she whispered. Elliot gave her a thumbs up. Nori began to wheeze. She hadn't seen Father since he'd sent her away. He had sent her purple rain boots, but he hadn't actually said anything. And now she was going to try Flamingo in front of him, with Pepper the Fear standing next to her. Sure, she had held Flamingo for 2 minutes and 11 seconds the night before, but only that one time. What if Pepper fierced? What if Nori couldn't keep still with Crazy Daisy Shame playing and turned into something wonky? Elliot, she shook him. Elliot, I can't. I can't go out on stage. Not with my father in the audience.
Yes, you can, Elliot said. Do you want to try a headstand to calm you down?
No.
Do you want a Choco fire truck?
No, Elliot.
Nori shook him again. What about some deep breathing? Or a glass of water? Really, Nori? It's going to be all right. Let's get ready, said Bax from behind Nori. We're up next.
The UDM kids convened in the prop room, which had a soundproof door. The school piano was in there, on wheels. They had to push it on stage after the flares finished, then set up their other instruments. Andres had his drums attached to a board on the end of a long pole that they'd also bring on stage. The drums were the right height for him to play when his leash was attached to Bax's piano stool. Willa had her bowl of water covered with a large sheet of plastic wrap. Marigold unpacked her clarinet from its case.
"Where's Zinnia?" Elliot said. "It's almost time for her to get Pepper."
"I'm here," Zinnia said, slipping into the room. From the other side of the door, Nori heard a roar of enthusiastic applause for the flares. It went on forever. Father was out there. "I can't," Nori moaned, covering her face with her hands. "I can't compete with Kitty Grooves or the Fireflies." Elliot dug in his backpack for his water bottle.
"Here, I'll make you an ice pack. That'll help you calm down. You need to keep cool and calm. Then everything will be okay. Let me just freeze this for you."
He concentrated, and soon came the snap of newly formed ice.
"Oh, no," Sebastian gasped. "Elliot, what have you done?"
Nori looked up. Elliot hadn't iced the bottle. He'd iced the instruments.
"My clarinet is frozen," Marigold wailed. "I can't play a frozen clarinet."
"If I play my drums, they'll shatter," said Andres.
The guitar was covered in frost. Even the piano was completely iced. So was Willa's bowl.
"Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no,"
Elliot cried. The door to the prop room burst open. The flares spilled in. They were happy and glowing and full of high spirits.
"Your turn," Lacey sang to Nori.
"Beat that, Nori Horace."
She stopped and took in the frozen instruments. Then she exploded in laughter. The other Sparkies joined in.
"Oh my gosh," Lacey cackled. "You guys are such wonkos."
"You froze your instruments," Rune said. "Why?" "Zinnia, go get Pepper," Elliot said desperately. "If we don't have instruments, at least we have her."
Lacey's eyebrows shot up. She blocked Zinnia's way.
"Zinnia, are you seriously helping them?"
Zinnia blinked.
"Please, get Pepper," Elliot repeated. "If we have her percussion, maybe we can still perform."
Zinnia stepped toward the door.
"If you get Pepper right now, you will never be a Sparky again," Lacey warned.
Zinnia froze, her eyes wide.
Zinnia,
Elliot said. Zinnia's struggle played out on her face.
Both of you, stop! I don't want to pick sides. Why do I have to pick sides?
Because you do, Nori said.
Enough is enough.